Hey, listeners, this is the last week to register for Secret Church 24 on Friday, April 19th. Together, we're going to walk verse by verse of the story of redemption in the book of Ruth, pray for the persecuted church in North Korea. You can register today by visiting radical.net/Ruth.
Psalm 23 is one of the most loved and well-known passages in all of Scripture. However, it's easy to become so familiar with a passage like this that we no longer stop to consider what God is saying and how we should respond to it. Welcome to the Radical with David Platt podcast, the latest sermons from teacher, author, and pastor David Platt delivered weekly. As always, you can find thousands of more free gospel-centered resources at our website, radical.net. In this message, David Platt helps us think about how to understand and respond to Psalm 23 through various tools, like memorization, meditation, application, prayer, and sharing its truth with others. As followers of Christ, we want to hear the voice of our Good Shepherd and respond rightly to Him. Here's David with a sermon titled, Understanding and Responding to Psalm 23.
Psalm 23, probably the most famous psalm in all the Bible, for good reason. Remember, first funeral, I vividly remember it was my granddad's funeral, my dad's dad. As a little kid, I remember like it was yesterday. It was the first time I really saw my dad just cry, just weeping. I remember that afternoon after the funeral, sitting on the floor in my grandmother's house and just writing out, as a kid, writing out Psalm 23 on a piece of paper. Then when I was in college, I preached my first funeral. It was my grandmother on my mom's side. And her favorite psalm was Psalm 23. It had been a real comfort to her when her husband, my grandfather on my mom's side, had passed away a few years before. So it was just natural to preach at her funeral from Psalm 23. Then I remember living in New Orleans right after my dad unexpectedly died, and I was asked to preach on Psalm 23. And I just remember reflecting on God's grace in the middle of grief. Like this psalm, for centuries, has been a source of comfort, strength, hope. I think about a church member, Casey Black, who was diagnosed with cancer. Within about a month, they took him in for surgery to remove it. When they opened his stomach up, a stomach cancer, they saw the cancer had spread everywhere. There was literally nothing they could do. They closed him back up. When he woke up, said, "We're sorry, there's nothing." And he was journaling just a couple of weeks before he died. And this is what he wrote in his journal. He said, "I was diagnosed with stomach cancer. Now they say it spread to my liver, lymph nodes, and lungs. If I didn't know the Lord, I would probably be scared. But instead, I have such peace." Psalm 23 sums it up. So what is it about Psalm 23 that brings such peace and hope and strength and sustenance throughout generations of God's people in history? Well, let's meditate on it in the abbreviated time we have left. Let's do what we've done over the last couple of weeks, just soak in what God's word says. So let me pray for us. Oh God, we only have a short time left, but I pray that in the next few minutes, as we meditate on your word together, that you would speak powerfully and supernaturally to us, that we might experience even right now the peace and hope and strength that your people have experienced literally for centuries through this psalm. And I pray that some people today in this room and other campuses might experience new life in Jesus today. In his name we pray, amen. All right, we're going to do what we've done the last couple of weeks. We're going to read this out loud together, then spend a couple minutes meditating on it. I hope this is helping, encouraging you in your time alone with God's word. I've been talking with different people, just talking about how they're experiencing like a fresh start to their faith, new intimacy with God through meditating on his word on their own. Like, that is what I long for you, like literally. I want nothing more for each one of you as your pastor. What I long for more than anything else is that you would know and experience intimacy with God. Because I know that when that happens, that's life-changing and marriage-changing and family-changing and work-changing and, I would argue, world-changing for you and everybody you come in contact with. So let's read this together and then meditate on it. Psalm chapter 23, we'll read it out loud in this room at other campuses. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh. All right, let's do this. And I invite everybody to join in, from the youngest to the oldest. If you've been a Christian in the church for decades, or if this is your first time ever in the church and you're not a Christian, I invite you to take just a few minutes right now and to make notes on what sticks out to you in this psalm. So anything that repeats, words, phrases that stick out. Like, how does the psalm develop? Which, by the way, a psalm is a song or prayer to God or about God. So how does the psalm develop? What does it teach us about God, ourselves? Just take a couple of minutes. We'll do this pretty quickly today. Just make a few notes, observations where you're sitting, and then I'll bring us back together. Go for it. All right, let me start to bring us back together. That's so not enough time, but, and there's so much here. We could like set aside the rest of the day and soak this one in. But we don't have the rest of the day. Like, you want lunch and that sort of thing, which I get. So let me show a couple things you may or may not have noticed that are breathtaking and life-changing. Starting in verse 1, so okay, the Lord, hopefully you recognize, small caps, O-R-D, Lord, this is the covenant name for God, the one who always was, is, always will be, the God over all the universe. And David, King David, who's writing the psalm, says, this God is my shepherd. So I think we just think about those two words the rest of this time. Like, what does that mean? My shepherd. Shepherd. So let's start with my. Did you notice how often in this psalm the first person plural is pronoun is used? Like I or me or my. So let's count them. Count them with me. So the Lord is my shepherd. There's one. I shall not want. There's two. Keep going. He makes me, three, lie down in green pastures. He leads me, four, beside still waters. He restores my soul, five. He leads me, six, in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk, seven, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Eight, for you are with me. Nine, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. 10, you prepare a table before me. 11, in the presence of my enemies. 12, you anoint my head with oil. 13, my cup overflows. 14, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. 15, all the days of my life. 16, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 17 times. And the point, I think, it's clear. Like David's saying, the Lord is not just a shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. Which immediately leads to the question for every single one of us in this gathering. Like, do you know God like this? Like, right where you are sitting, do you know God? Like, personally like this? And the good news of Psalm 23 is you can know God like this. Like God. Not just this guy or girl over here, like God. You can know, not only you can, but God wants you to know him like this. to experience him like this as the shepherd of your life. You say, what does that mean? And obviously we're at a disadvantage because very few of us, I think, in this gathering are shepherds with like sheep, like real sheep. Most of us probably don't know any shepherds, so we kind of have an idea what a shepherd does, but it's not very concrete in our minds. But there's good news here for the non-shepherds among us, including me, because this psalm lists out all kinds of things that God does for us as shepherd, that God does for you, me, as shepherd. So let's just list them out, kind of fly through this. So I count at least 10 things David says the Lord does for me as my shepherd. So here in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So he satisfies my wants. I shall not want, I shall not be in lack, which obviously doesn't mean he gives me everything I want. That wouldn't be good. The same way it wouldn't be good for me to give my kids who are over here like everything they want. Not everything they want is good for them. So the wording here is literally like, I shall not lack. But you think about the context of the psalm. David's talking about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, being in the presence of my enemies. And when you think about it, when you walk through difficult days, it's because you're in lack of something. And when you walk through grief, it's because you lack fellowship with somebody you loved. When you walk through sickness or disease, it's because you lack good health. When you walk through difficulty in your family, it's because you lack what you once had or what you always wanted to have. Suffering is associated with lacking something. I think about Job. In Job 1, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Like, he's lacking something. So how do you say not in lack? But here's the beauty of what Psalm 23 is teaching. Like, even when the Lord takes away, even when the Lord takes away, the Lord never stops giving. Like, what I've discovered in times of pain and loss is that when I'm lacking something, someone, amidst the difficulties, and we saw this last week in Psalm 13, that even in those moments, well, when the pain pierces your heart, it's in those moments the peace that God gives is most real and most needed. And it's when the confusion and despair just kind of overwhelming you, it's in those moments where God says, I will give you wisdom. It's when you're at the end of yourself and you don't know if you can go on, and God speaks and he says, when you are weak, I am strong. Your shepherd never stops giving, and he will never stop giving so that you can say, I shall not want. Keep going. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The second thing a shepherd does, he gives me rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He calms my anxious soul. How many of us, not asking for a show of hands, but how many struggle with anxiety at so many different levels? Like, we so struggle with this. And oh, we could talk all day long about each one of these individually, but the picture here is the Lord as your shepherd wants to replace your anxiety with his peace. It's what it means for him to be a shepherd. He leads me beside still waters, leads me in paths of righteousness. So those are like parallel phrases. Leads me beside still waters, leads me in paths of righteousness. So as shepherd, he leads my path. God doesn't just say, go this way, do this thing, then he leaves you to figure it out on your own. No, he leads you beside quiet waters and paths of righteousness. And he restores my soul. What a phrase. Like, just let that soak in. Are you broken? The Lord repairs. Are you hurting? The Lord heals. Do you feel dirty? The Lord makes clean. You feel guilty? The Lord forgives. And do you notice? He's the one who does all these things. He makes me. He leads me. He restores me. He leads me. All these things he's doing. So isn't it good to know that in difficult times, it's not your ability that gets you through, but his. When you walk through difficulty, when you don't have the strength, the grace of your shepherd will get you through. For his name's sake, oh, we could talk all day about this. I'm saying that all the time, but we could. Like, get the picture. God has bound up the glory and honor of his name in showing himself in all these ways. Like, the Lord's name is Jehovah Jireh, which means he is committed to showing himself as your provider. The Lord's name is Jehovah Shalom, which means he's committed to showing himself as your peace. The Lord's name is Jehovah Rapha, which means he is committed to showing himself as your healer, restorer. The Lord will be true to his name in your life, particularly in the hardest times. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. So fifth thing the Lord does in my shepherd, he removes my fears. How? With his presence. He does not ever leave me alone. And did you notice the shift here in verse 4? So up until this point, David's been talking about the Lord as his shepherd. In verse 4, he talks to the Lord as his shepherd. Instead of just, he does this, he does that, for the first time he says, I will fear no evil for what? You are with me, your rod and your staff. He could have said, for God is with me, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. But that's not what he says. He changes and speaks to the Lord. I think he's expressing here what every one of us knows. Like, it's easy to talk about God when we're walking in green pastures beside quiet waters. But when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death in the middle of darkness, it's less talking about God, it's crying out to God. It's not just a need for truth about God, yes that, but it's a need for help from God. And God promises to help. Our shepherd never leaves his sheep alone. And David says, if my shepherd's with me, I have nothing to fear. Please hear this. When you know that the Lord is with you in every moment as your shepherd, you have nothing to fear. Not even death, which we'll come back to at the end. Keep going. Number 6, as our shepherd, the Lord, he comforts me. So that's the word at the end here of verse 4, comforts me with his provision, with his rod and his staff, a picture of his guidance, protection, even discipline that are a comfort to keep us safe, even in the valley of the shadow of death. And then the image shifts when you get to verse 5. So you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How awesome is this? As our shepherd, the Lord, he serves me. This is talking about God preparing a table for you. He prepares the table in the presence of your enemies. When your enemies surround you, like, the Lord doesn't just sustain you enough so you can barely get through. The Lord satisfies you. And he honors me. He honors me. You anoint my head with oil so my cup overflows. That's the picture here. He's like set apart as an honored guest, cup filled to overflowing. As my shepherd, the Lord serves me. The Lord serves me and honors me. The Lord serves you, honors you when you're surrounded by those who are against you. And then verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Ah, that's a good word, follow. He pursues me with his love, with goodness and mercy. Now, here's the deal. When you hear follow, that can be a bit misleading because you might almost picture like the Lord just kind of lacking behind us. Like, if you're gonna follow somebody, you kind of stay behind them. You don't wanna be too creepy, right? Just keep a little distance between you and them. You're following them. Or maybe when I'm playing outside with my kids, it's time to go inside. I tell them to follow me inside to get cleaned up. They might slowly start to follow in that direction. I think that's often how we think about God's love, like kind of lagging behind us, with us, or maybe a step behind, sometimes even a little hard to see. That's not the imagery here. The word follow here is like an active, all-out pursuit. It's like when I first saw Heather and decided I am going to pursue her. And there were obstacles in the way, most notably another guy, but that was not gonna stop me. Active, all-out pursuit, not lagging behind, forging ahead, so whenever she finally turned around from him, I would be right there. So this, the psalmist David says, this is what God's love is like in our lives. His love is not lagging behind us. His love overtakes us. Wherever you are, his love is pursuing you so that every moment, like you wake up tomorrow morning, know this, his love is pursuing you. Just wake up, let the first thought be in your mind tomorrow. Right, after you turn off the alarm clock and yeah, don't even think the bad thought you thought about the alarm clock. Just immediately think that God of the universe is pursuing me right now. It'll change your day. It'll change your day to really believe this. And then when you walk through every moment you face, to know you can never get away from the goodness and mercy of God. And isn't this really good news when we sin? When we wander from our shepherd, to know that he still pursues us with his goodness and mercy. Or when we doubt God, to know that he still pursues us with his goodness and mercy. I'm assuming that in a gathering this size, there are many people who, if you were honest, are distant from God right now, maybe have been wandering from God, maybe having a hard time trusting in God. And I just want you to know right now, based on his word, that he's brought you here to hear this word. He loves you, and his goodness and mercy are yours. That's why it's called mercy. Say, I don't deserve that. It's the whole point. It leads to the last picture as our shepherd. He guarantees, like I shall, he guarantees my eternity forever with him in his house. He guarantees my eternity with him. Huh. There's so much here. Let me just summarize this psalm by saying this. We don't deserve this kind of relationship with God as our shepherd. None of us do. We've all sinned against God. We like sheep have all gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, the Bible says. We deserve God's judgment, not God's mercy. But the good news of the Bible is that God has been true to his word to love you and me as a shepherd, so much so that God came to us in Jesus. And I want you to hear Jesus' words in John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus said, I am the good, what? Shepherd. And the good shepherd does what? He lays down his life for the sheep. Psalm 23, Jesus says, I am that shepherd. Jesus is God in the flesh who came to pay the price for our sin, for your sin, for my sin. That's why he died on the cross, laid down his life, so that we could be restored to relationship with God as shepherd. Jesus came to make Psalm 23 a reality for you and for me. Right where we are sitting right now. And really, there's nothing more important in our lives than this. Do you know the Lord as your shepherd? I mentioned Casey Black earlier. Diagnosed with stomach cancer, journaling days before he died, saying, I have such peace. Psalm 23 sums it up. I remember walking into his hospital room, knowing he was about to die, not knowing what to say. I mean, what do you say? Those situations like, I'm so sorry, it's happening. Wish this wasn't happening. Well, I and others who walked into Casey's hospital room that day got a surprise when we walked in the door. So here was a man sitting on that bed, literally in the valley of the shadow of death. And he had a smile on his face. And you walk in, he pointed up to heaven and he would say, I'm going to be with Jesus today. And suddenly, I'm sorry didn't feel like the appropriate thing to say anymore. Or I wish this wasn't happening. Like, you actually found yourself thinking, I wish I was going with you. And that's the point. When the Lord is your shepherd, you have nothing to fear. Even the worst thing that could happen to you, death itself, has now become the best thing that could happen to you. So the Bible describes heaven this way, Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. For the Lamb, that's talking about Jesus in the midst of the throne, will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So, will you bow your heads with me? All across this room, across other campuses, we bow our heads. Like, I want to ask you, right where you are sitting in this moment, do you know Jesus as your shepherd? Can you say, just joy in your heart right now, yes, the Lord is my shepherd. I know him, he's mine. And if your heart does not resound in that way, just yes, and I want to invite you in this moment right now to put your trust in him as your shepherd. Just to pray right where you're sitting right now, just to say, dear God, just pray in your heart, dear God, I am a sinner. I have strayed from you. But I believe that Jesus died on a cross for me and for my sin. And today, I put my trust in him. Forgive me of all my sin and restore me to relationship with you as my shepherd, that I might know all these things in Psalm 23 in my life, and I might dwell in your house forever. Huh. Don't leave this place today without knowing the kind of confidence that Casey knew. If you just prayed that to God with our heads still bowed, eyes still closed, if you just prayed that to God, I want to invite you to do something. If you just said, yes, today I'm trusting in Jesus to restore me, reconcile me to God as my shepherd. If you just prayed that, would you just lift up your hand where you are as a picture of you just saying, yes, today I'm trusting in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, God, I praise you for your goodness and your mercy. This room and other campuses, how you've brought people today. I hope to be encouraged in all kinds of ways, but particularly for these who just raised their hands to say, yes, today I have come to know the Lord as my shepherd. I pray that you would give them courage to profess that publicly, even today through baptism. And for them and for everyone who knows you as shepherd, we say together today, we believe Psalm 23. We say it in our hearts together. You are our shepherd. You are my shepherd. And I'm so glad, we are so glad you are our shepherd. So lead us, guide us, remove our fears. Comfort us, strengthen us, and bring us safely into eternal life with you. We love you, O Lord, our shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Radical with David Platt. As always, you can download today's sermon or the discussion questions that accompany every sermon at our website, radical.net. There you can also search similar topics of today's sermon, like value and authority in the Word, how to study the Bible, spiritual growth, evangelism, and making disciples. Well, Secret Church 20 is fast approaching. This year's theme that Pastor David will be teaching on is God, government, and the gospel. Thousands of you from all around the world are planning to either attend with us in Washington, D.C. or watch via the global live stream. But either way, if you're planning to attend, we have a special discount for our Radical Podcast community. Regardless of the group size, if you use the code PODCAST at checkout, you will receive 10% off of your registration price. Again, regardless of the group size. That's Secret Church 20 using the code PODCAST for 10% off. We hope you will join us for that important night on April 24th, 2020. God, government, and the gospel. Well, that's all for today's episode. I'm your host, Thomas Bowen. And until next time, join us at radical.net.